Is anybody there? Hello? Is anybody there?
Good evening. I hope you are all well. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach Gedula Chemincha Tati Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Ta Shayans in Tet Nun. These six letters spell two words, Kra, which means terror, and Satan, which is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, small gates, and as a reminder to us to guard the gates of our mind, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, which are the entry points for the negative side to penetrate to our soul. Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet, the first three letters, have a gematria of 57, which is the same as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. And sustenance is the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that we utilize to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rachamei tzidkatcha tamid gamrem Betet resh tzadi tav gimel. These six letters connect us to the sphera of Netzach. One of the aspects of Netzach is eternal victory. It's also the sequence of letters that we utilize during the month of Av to connect to the seed level of the month of Av. The two letters, the Kaf, which created the planet we know as the Sun, and the Tet, which created the constellation Aryeh, the Leo, as well as the month, the Hebrew month of Av. Chasin Kadosh Erov Tuvcha Na'el Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim. The sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Hod. One of the aspects of Hod is thank you, appreciation. What do you need to appreciate in your life? And always remember the spiritual law. In order to ask for more, we first must appreciate what we have. Yachid Geye Ramcha Pene Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Yesod. It also connects us to helping to spread the wisdom of Kabbalah during the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tariyuta. The first two letters have a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. This number represents perfection, completion. It represents shalom. Shalem, which is shalom. Completion, which is peace. The Vav Tadi Yutaf has a gematria of 506, like the first verse. And that connects us to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, and teaches us that perfection is achieved through the injection of love. And the eighth line is said in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Chazinu. The last verse in the Parasha of Chazinu is from section 60 from the Book of the Physician Kartana. It's verse number 260. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu Umayinun Milin Dibilam Nesivna Vechamina Bahu Dila Hava Bialma Hakim Bacharashin Kaginei Amana Barish Rachamana Devitel Mal Alma Karshin Dila Yit Un Bene Nasha Nibatar Dekalta Dekuchabarithu Yitaf Viyutaf Shemo Imen Al Ken. From the words of Bilam I received, and saw from them that there was no one in the world as knowledgeable in witchcraft as he. I said, blessed is the merciful who abolished witchcraft from the world, so they will not mislead and remove people from fearing the Holy One. Blessed be he. May his name be exalted and blessed. Amen. It says witchcraft will be removed from the world, and that we know will take place with the coming of Mashiach. There will no longer be an occult. There will no longer be a system designed to hide the reality so that our physical world appears as an illusion. We will be able to see the truth with the coming of Mashiach. Right now, we are veiled, sometimes by our own actions, sometimes by others' actions, as part of being our creation. And that's sometimes very difficult to understand. May Mashiach come soon, in our time. Amen. Does anybody have any questions from last week, from any other subject? We are talking about the 23 days of the holidays of Tishrei. We are talking about the process of growing from birth or rebirth to maturity. We are talking about receiving the energy that we will utilize during the whole of next year. And what does this energy represent? Why are there 23 days in this process? There's only 22 Hebrew letters. Why 23 days? In Israel, within the borders of Israel, there are only 22 days. The holiday of Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, these two holidays are combined into one day inside Israel. There are only 22 days there, one day for each of the letters of the alphabet. And yet outside of Israel there's 23. We have a tradition that there will be a 23rd Hebrew letter introduced at the coming of Mashiach. Some people have speculated that that 23rd Hebrew letter will be a shin with four arms. That shin occurs on the house of the Tefillin. And it's used in one of the meditations upon placing the tefillin on our heads. But rather than go into that or speculate, just know that inside Israel, the completion is capable in 22 days, while outside Israel it takes 23. It's like two different pots. You can have a pot that is 10 gallons of space, and it can have a spout to fill that 10 gallons of space, 1 inch in diameter, and you can have a spout that's 2 inches in diameter. In one, the 10 gallons will fill more rapidly than the other. And that's really the metaphor that we can understand the difference in the holidays between being in Israel, being within the level of that energy, that intense energy, and being outside Israel, where we need to struggle to reach the level of intensity. And it takes an additional day. Last week we were discussing the 10 days of repentance, the 10 days of awe, the 10 days that we need to do additional spiritual actions to help us inject the year, all 52 Sundays, with the actions that we do on that first Sunday of the year, and the inject the actions of Monday with additional spiritual work that will apply to all 52 days, 52 Mondays in the year. And the same thing applies to Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and even on Shabbat. Whatever takes place spiritually on those days is going to affect and impact all of those days, all 52 of those days in the coming year. That means if you get angry, that anger is going to affect every one of those days, 52 of them, in the whole year. If you study longer, that's going to affect all 52 days of the year. If you treat people with human dignity, that's going to impact all 52 days of that year. It's up to us to keep that in mind. It's up to us to work on ourselves spiritually during these days of awe, these days where we transform the writing from Hashem, from the middle book, the book of I'm not sure yet what we're going to do with him, to the book of the living, or Chas v'Shalom, the book of the dead, if our repentance isn't accepted, if it's not real, if it's just make-believe. And if we've done our work in Elul and in the 10 days of repentance, 10 days of awe, we arrive at Yom Kippur. Now, the sages teach that the ninth day of Tishrei, the day before Yom Kippur, and the tenth day, the day of Yom Kippur, are connected together because they represent Yesod and Malchut. And in one metaphor, Yesod is never separated from Malchut, because there's always the option for Malchut to receive. And Malchut can only receive through Yesod. There's no other way to get to Malchut. There's no other way for Malchut to receive. So the day of the ninth and the day of the tenth are connected. And the sages write, Rabbi Isaac Luria, explains the ritual of the kapara, of the kaparot. It's a strange ritual. It takes place any time in those 10 days, but the best time is on the morning of the 10th, which is the night coming from the 9th. And that morning of the 10th, just before the rising star, the morning star, generally about 3 o'clock in the morning, the ritual is to take a chicken, which is called a gever in Hebrew. Gever connects to Geburah, the sphere of judgment. The nature of a chicken is judgment. And the ritual is to, while saying a blessing, a particular sequence of Hebrew letters, swing the chicken around one's head. And that chicken literally accepts upon itself and is transferred from the human being all of the negativity that is still remains from the spiritual work that's been done in Elul, all of that negativity is transferred to the chicken, and then the chicken is slaughtered in a kosher ritual manner, and the blood is sprinkled on the ground and covered with dirt by the person who did the slinging of the chicken. A shochet has to do the slaughtering, the killing of the chicken by slashing its throat in a non-painful way, because the knife is pure, has no nicks. And then the chicken is kashered. It's prepared in a kosher manner. The blood is drained from its body. The chicken is salted for at least, I don't know, an hour or two. And the blood is further drained by the salt, removing the judgment that is associated with the blood. And what you have left is a chicken that is to be consumed on the meal prior to Yom Kippur. And what the Ari teaches is the more meals that one eats on the ninth day, the more it's as if he fasted on those meals. This is very difficult to understand. And I made a mistake earlier. I said it was the morning of the 10th. And it is the morning of the 10th, but it's really the 9th day. It's the morning of the 9th. It starts in the evening of the 9th. The sunrise of the 9th, which is the day of that night, is the 10th. It's always, people struggle with what the timing of the Kaparot is. It is the morning of the 9th, just before sunrise, not the morning of the 10th. But it is the 10th in the sense that the morning of the 9th is that evening is the beginning of the Yom Kippur, the beginning of the 10th day. And the sages in the Talmud write, and the Ari explains the connection of how Yesod and Malchut are always connected, and that by the more meals one eats on that ninth day, the longer their fast is on the 10th day, the more intense their fast. Now, what is the fast about? It's about removing physicality. The more intense the fast, the more removal of physicality takes place. The body still exists, but it's becoming spiritual. And that is what the idea of Yom Kippur is all about. We rise on the Yom Kippur through the five restrictions: no sex, no perfume, no washing, no leather shoes, and no eating or drinking. We rise through the level of restriction, limitations. We limit the physicality, which allows our body to rise through the worlds of spirituality. We rise through these five large meals that are consumed on Yom Kippur. But it's a day of fasting. What are these large meals? They're the five Amidahs that are said during the day. One in the night, one in the morning at Shacharit, another one after the reading of the Torah, the Musaf. So far we've had three. And then there is a fourth one at Mincha in the afternoon. And the final one is called Ne'ilah. The fifth one, just before the closing of the gates, just before the end of the 10th day and the beginning of the 11th day. The 11th day is still a holiday, but we'll explain that in a second. These five meals, through these five meals that we eat by saying the Amidah, we connect to the level of Bina, to the energy store, to this once a year availability of energy. During the meal of Ne'ilah, we literally, in our meditation during that Amidah, we go into the energy store and take what we want. Take the energy of creation, more than we can normally are entitled to. There's no limitation. Only our consciousness limits us. Take what you will. Take what you want. Visualize your year. That's what will take place during the next year. Visualize the meeting of your soulmate. Visualize your marriage. Visualize the children that you want to bring. Visualize everything for the world, the coming of Mashiach. What you visualize will manifest if you've done your work through the 40 days preceding this. If you cleansed yourself, and even if you haven't, the sages write that for negativity between man and God, Yom Kippur atones. In essence, we are new. We are new babes. We haven't completed our maturity. But the energy is there in potential. We just draw it. We take it. We visualize it. It's free. It is the one day that has no bread of shame. Take for yourself alone. There's no bread of shame on this day. It is the one day of free gift that our merciful Creator has given us. And He has taught us through the rituals of the five meals, the Kaparot, the 10 days of repentance and awe. He has taught us all about this free gift. Take it. Do it. Utilize it. Enjoy it. There is no bread of shame this day. What does that mean? Try it and find out. What can you visualize? Do you want to go to Alpha Centauri and see the entities there? You'll meditate on that on Yom Kippur. You will have an experience where you will go to Alpha Centauri in your mind and you will visit the entities there. You want to know the cause of the unity of the universe? You want to know what you want to know? Oh, most people want to have millions of dollars. Whatever you want, there's no bread of shame. It's the day we say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed, out loud, not silently. The Satan does not operate that day. Whatever we do is free. There's no judgment. There's no observation. There's no one looking on. Just enjoy. This is the five meals of Yom Kippur. Now, to complete the discussion of the 10 days of awe, 10 days of repentance, the third day, there is a fast that is prescribed by the sages. Throughout the generations, there is a morning to sunset fast called the day of the fast of Gedalia. And people don't understand it. And it's done as a ritual with no true understanding throughout the Jewish world. And it's really a very effective fast. It's part of the cleansing. It's important to understand why one does it. As to whether it's important to do it, I'll leave that up to you. During the history of the Jewish nation, the temple was destroyed. The first temple was destroyed. And the Jews were sent into exile. And there was still a remnant of Jewish people. And for the first time in the history of the world, a Jewish king, King Gedalia, was not appointed by God, was not anointed by the high priest, but was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, a man, a human being. And there was a deep conflict within the Jewish nation. It was the beginning of the conflicts that, it's a political conflict, it's not a ritual conflict, but it's called the argument between the Sadducees and the Pharisees from New Testament fame. The beginning of that conflict, which is a political conflict. Both of them accepted the Torah, not contrary to the understanding from the New Testament. Both of them accepted the Torah. Both of them did the rituals. Both of them went to the priest to do the sacrifices. Both of them had the oral tradition. What they disagreed about started with this conflict. Do we follow this king that's appointed by man? Or when we always know that the king comes from God? Do we follow him or we don't? At the time of the destruction of the second temple, that same disagreement, political disagreement, was, do we overthrow the Romans physically? Or through stealth? Do we fight a war, which we ended up losing, and the sages knew we would lose and said, don't do it? Or do we use stealth? Do we fight a guerrilla war to overthrow the Romans and live to see another day? These same political comments apply in our generation. There are people within the nation of Israel that want to see a Torah state. How do we achieve that? By giving land for peace? Or not? The same conflict exists in our generation. The same resolution will take place. It isn't a question of the unity of the Jewish people. It's a question of the unity of the political choices of the Jewish people. The fast of Gedalia was enacted by the sages because for the first time in history, a Jew killed another Jew. King Gedalia was assassinated as the political statement of one faction who said, we will not follow this man appointed by another man as king over us. We want Hashem through his prophets to tell us who is the king. And Hashem was silent. But the horror of that assassination, the shock value of that assassination, was as tremendous as the shock value in 1963 of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Or maybe more so, more than likely more so. The shock value was relived. Was John F. Kennedy a reincarnation of Gedaliah? I don't know. But the history of the world goes through cycles that repeat itself, almost. Slightly different each time. The fast of Gedaliah is to understand the horror of hatred for no reason. Pinat Sinam. We have reached and completed the day of Yom Kippur. We have seen the closing of the gates. We have listened to the last shofar sound, the long Tekiyah Gedolah. We have heard it all. We have our answer. It is now the night of the 11th. Another part of the 22 days, 23 days of holiday. The 11th day. What is the 11th? The 11 is one more than 10. 11 is the 11 incense, the 11 components of incense, one of which smells bad. 10 is absolutely beautiful. 10 is overwhelmingly beautiful. The 11th is bad, but the 10 overcome it and include it in the 11 incense items that brings us closer to Hashem. The 11th day is the Keter of Sukkot. Sukkot has 7 days. It starts on the 15th. We have 4 days between the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. They represent the Keter, the Chokmah, the Bina, and the Dat of Chesed, of Sukkot. These 4 days, it is said in the Talmud that there are no sins these 4 days. The Jewish nation is incapable of sinning these 4 days because they are building their sukkah. The halakha says you cannot touch the aspects of the sukkah until the night of the 11th day. So we start to build the sukkah. We are so busy, we don't have time to sin. That is what one of the sages said. Another said that the mitzvah of building the sukkah overrides any negative actions or thoughts that we might have. 4 days without sin. Maybe we do sin, but the negative side cannot record it. The negative side is a reactive being. The negative side needs those 4 days to recover. The negative side is almost not in existence those 4 days. He wasn't in existence the 10th day. And his reaction is to hide for 4 days. And actually only coming out during the holiday of Sukkot. Now Sukkot, we are admonished, not admonished, we are told to live in the Sukkah. Not to eat in the Sukkah, but to dwell in the Sukkah. To live, to move into the temporary shelter of the Sukkah. To move out of our houses and live there. Why? On one level, on a physical level, it's to teach us certainty. To teach us that who provides for us? Hashem. It's not our material wealth that we build into our big homes, but all things come from Hashem. And living in the Sukkah gives us that insight, that understanding. 7 days, we live in the Sukkah. We dwell in the Sukkah. We sit in the Sukkah. We eat in the Sukkah. Many sleep in the Sukkah. Many do not. It's all a function of how much energy do you want. What kind of energy? We got all the energy on Yom Kippur. You got the energy for your year. You got the energy of the left column of your desire to receive the first 10 days of judgment. Now we have 10 days, which are 7 days, of right column energy. The energy of sharing. And we use the mechanical properties of the ritual of the Sukkah, of the Lulav and Etrog, the four species, of the circles that we do in our morning prayers, the Hakafot. We use these technologies to draw the energy of mercy into our life. And we also listen to the Torah readings of the Maftirs. And in the Maftir, there starts on day one of Sukkot, 13 sacrifices of bulls. And on day two, 12 sacrifices of bulls. And on day three, 11 sacrifices of bulls. And on day four, 10. And on day five, 9. On day six, 8. And on day seven, 7 sacrifices of bulls. 7 + 8 + 9 + 10 + 11 + 12 + 13. Miraculously adds up to 70. We share the energy of mercy that we draw through the Sukkah, through the four faith species, through the Hakafot. We draw this energy of mercy and share it with the chieftains of the 70 nations. The spiritual entities of the 70 nations, the leaders spiritually of the 70 nations. If we share enough energy, they are satisfied. If we do not share enough energy, we have a year of pogrom, of rising tension between Jew and non-Jew, between nations that want to eliminate the Jewish people, and nations who know that the world would come to an end if the Jewish people were removed. There are 6.5 billion people in the world. There are 13 billion Jewish people. 13 million, excuse me, Jewish people. 1% of 6.5 billion doesn't come close to 13 million. The 13 million represent the fulcrum, the center point of the world, of the universe. If the Jewish people do their job and draw this energy of chesed, of mercy, through these 70 sacrifices that they hear in the Sukkah, a year of peace awaits us, a year of balance, a year of completion, shalom, shalem. The Jewish people do not do their work. It's a year of chaos for the Jewish world because we did not do our work. 7 days out of 22, 7 days out of 365, 7 days of spiritual work to have a complete shalem, a peaceful shalom year. And then we reach the holiday of Shmini Atzeret, the Eighth Assembly. It is a metaphor. It is the day that Hashem gives the energy to the Jewish nation. The metaphor that the sages teach us is there were 7 days of meals that where everybody arrived, the king's courtiers, the people in the country, everybody came to the holidays, to the meals, to the celebrations during the 7 days of Sukkot. But when all of these are over and everybody is sent home, there is still left the beloved children of the king. And he celebrates with us on this day. There is a ritual of transforming from the requesting for dew into the request for rain. This is in part of the Amidah. There is a custom to wait 3 weeks to complete that change through one of the prayers within the Amidah. What is that 3-week period? That's how long it takes for Jewish people to get in those days from the temple back to the furthest reaches of the land. It would take 3 weeks of travel. And so we wait till the 7th of Cheshvan to actually complete the transition from Du to Geshem, from Tal to Geshem. These are very esoteric words having to do with Mashiach, having to do with many different deep Kabbalistic secrets. Shmini Atzeret, the 21st of the 22 days. I didn't mention Hoshana Rabbah, the day before Shmini Atzeret, the 6th day of Sukkot. This day that we do 7 hakafot, 7 circles, waving the lulav and etro. The day that we check the shadow. What an amazing ritual. On the 15th day of every Hebrew month, we can check the shadow because the soul leaves the body of someone who is going to die 30 days prior to their death. So So check your shadow on the 15th day of a month. If it's there, you're not going to die within the next 30 days. Check your shadow on the 15th of the next month. It's still there. You're not going to die for the next 30 days. Check your shadow the third month, the fifth month, and on each of those months. Your shadow is still there. Now, we're not talking about the physical shadow. We're talking about the spiritual shadow, the shadow of the shadow. And it is only visible in the pure light of the full moon, except this one day, Hoshana Rabbah. If the soul is going to leave during the year, it leaves this one day. Check your shadow this day, and you can fix any discrepancy, any mumma, any disability, any problems in your energy of the year is shown during the shadow searching of Hoshana Rabbah. It takes someone trained to see the shadow. It takes someone knowledgeable. And there are very few people in our world with this knowledge. But search for one and find one. Don't be fooled by the charlatans who say they know when they don't. If you want to know what your year is going to be, check your shadow on Hoshana Rabbah. But also know that you can have certainty that everything will be fine. Correct what needs the final correction on Hoshana Rabbah. Participate in the celebration with the king on Shmini Atzeret. And finally, Simchat Torah, the day of dancing with the Torah, the final manifestation, the one day of central column energy, the one day of the energy that balances the world. This day completes the 22 or 23 days. This day brings completion. You have now become mature. What will you do with this maturity? Are you a changed person from the year before? Did you truly change yourself? This coming Shabbat, when you hear Bereshit, do you hear it differently than you heard it the year before? What will you be? Will you manifest that perfect year you visualized on Yom Kippur? Or will it be another year of no change? The choice is yours. There's a lot of spiritual work to do in those 50 days from the 1st of Elul to the 22nd or 23rd of Tishrei. Total number of days, 72. Excuse me. Total number of days, 52. 52, the gematria of man, the gematria of the Yud-Keh Vav-Keh on the level of Malchut, 52. Spelled Yud-Vav-Dalad, Hey, Hey. Vav-Vav, Hey, Hey. That's 20, 30, 40, and 12 is 52. Yud-Vav-Dalad, Hey, Hey. Vav-Vav, Hey, hey. These rituals have been known since the beginning of time. They were taught to Adam. Adam taught them to his children. The generations between Adam and Noah knew these rituals. Noah to Abraham knew these rituals. But people started to forget. At the giving of the Torah to Moshe, these rituals were given again, were taught again. And they've been brought down to this day by the Jewish nation. Every human being dies on Rosh Hashanah. Every human being has the potential to be mature on Simchat Torah. Every human being can choose his life without bread of shame on Yom Kippur. For whatever reason, the other nations are not taught this unless they start to study Kabbalah. The Jewish nation does the ritual, but without the Kavanah, without the understanding that is taught through the study of Kabbalah, it's a body without a soul. Now you have been given the merit to understand these 52 days. What will you do? Does anybody have any questions? Have a beautiful evening. Tomorrow night, we will talk about a mitzvah. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Los Angeles time, we will teach about a mitzvah. What is the kavanah of that mitzvah? What is the purpose of that mitzvah? What is the shorash of that mitzvah in the written Torah? How corrupted that mitzvah has become among the religious world. Come learn. Thursday at 10 p.m. L.A. time, we will read from the Zohar. This is the week of Re'eh. There is no Zohar. There's an interesting verse. We won't read about it. But there's an interesting verse that is never translated properly. Because it says, every person can become a son of God. Son of God, that's one of the code words from the New Testament. It's not that one person becomes a son of God. Every human being can become a son of God by understanding the Kavanah in Re'eh, in the Parashah of Re'eh. I didn't write about it. I just learned it myself yesterday. Perhaps next year I'll write about it. But understand that Re'eh, which means see, which means Chachma, the level of consciousness of our eyes, has no Zohar because it's undiluted energy. We need all that we can get during the month of Elul. Re'eh is always taught the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Elul. And this year is no exception. Friday at noon, yes, it's Shabbat in Europe. Friday at noon, we will be teaching the third class, in the basic class, here in New Mexico. That's noon New Mexico time, 11 o'clock LA time. Sunday at 10 a.m. LA time, we will be teaching the 10th class, the class of Sadaka versus Truma in the basic course for San Diego. Monday at 7 p.m. New Mexico time, 6 p.m. L.A. time, we will be teaching the third class of the basic class again in New Mexico here. And next Tuesday, 7:45, come find out what we will teach. I wish you all well. I wish you all a beautiful Rosh Hashanah. But it's up to you. Do the work or don't. You have free choice. Kol Tuv.